Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father. Thankful unto you for giving us another day, allowing us to rise from our beds this morning. For it is you, Heavenly Father, that has given us life. It is you that has given us all the blessings that we've had in this life since the day we were born, Heavenly Father. It is you that has provided all the beauty that we see before in this world each and every day, Heavenly Father. We're so grateful unto you, Heavenly Father, for our guidance, your comfort, for never leaving our sides, Heavenly Father, for the happiness that you provide for us each and every day, Heavenly Father, for bringing us through times of sorrow, times of struggle, Heavenly Father, for giving us the strength to keep going forward, Heavenly Father. So thankful for the great examples and all the blessings that you continue to give us, Heavenly Father, even at times when we may not be as thankful as we should be to you, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for all that you do for us. Also pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with all the mentioned sick. We know how important our health is to us, Heavenly Father, and pray that you will continue to watch over those as they continue to mend, that you will be with all those that are providing care for them so they may be restored to their much in one health. Pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you will be with the Nix family during this time of sorrow, that you will comfort them. Be by them as they, during this time of grieving, Heavenly Father. We also pray that you will be with our brother Skippy. So thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, unto him for bringing us these lessons each and every week, Heavenly Father. We know that the preparation that he puts into each and every lesson, Heavenly Father, and we pray that as we listen, that we'll give him our much undivided attention, and that we pray that he teaches us today, Heavenly, that he brings forth to us today, that we can apply to our daily lives. We also pray that you will be with the leaders of this congregation as they continue to attend to the needs of this congregation, the needs of this building. They continue to keep us safe, Heavenly Father, for we know that with the pandemic, we see the rising numbers, Heavenly Father. We know that we have to continue to be safe. Thankful to all those that the preparation, that all those that volunteer each and every morning, Heavenly Father, to make sure that we can worship safely, go home safely. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to be with this world, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to show more compassion to each other, Heavenly Father, show more love to each other, Heavenly Father, so that we can overcome so many issues that we deal with each and every day, so that we can overcome this pandemic, we can overcome the violence that you see that is being happening to each other, Heavenly Father. We know that just following your example, the example that thy son Jesus has set forth, that we can become a better world to live in, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to watch us as we begin this new week, that you'll watch over us, keep us safe. Pray that we will follow thy example, that we'll do everything according to thy will. And just watch over us, Heavenly Father, for these things we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 300, number 300, before the Lord's Supper. I come but thou.
As we gather this morning to worship God, we're also taught that a part of that worship is remembering the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. That's why we're taking communion now. So please join me in this prayer that I offer on our behalf. Dear Father, we thank you for your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the willingness that he had to lay down his life for us as part of that great plan that we may have life with you. May, dear Father, that we remember Christ not just this moment, but every day of our lives, that we may dedicate ourselves to living a life that will bring us home to thee. And help us as we take this bread to recognize that it indeed is a reminder that Christ is the bread of life. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that your Son made on our behalf. We thank you for the blood that flowed to wash away our sins. We thank you for the love that was shown that we might be able to commune with you, and in doing so that we show our love for you in return. As we partake of this cup, Father, we ask that our minds are clear and our hearts are filled. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked, please raise a hand and we'll see to it that you have an opportunity to take communion. I don't see any hands, so we'll move on to another part of worshiping God, and that is giving as we have prospered. Let's bow as we go to God on behalf of this opportunity. Dear Father, we thank you that you have blessed us so much, not only with salvation, but also with the ability to live this life and live it well because you have given us so much. Pray, dear Father, as we search our hearts that we'll be generous and that we'll give back to you a part of that which we have received so that the work of the church may continue. Be with us and bless us, for we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of invitation this morning will be number 856. 856, let us mark that as the song of invitation. 856. And before the lesson, we'll stand and sing number 272. 272, let's stand there.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the singing and it is a part of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to
Today's lesson this morning will be titled, How to Go from a Problem to a Solution. And the scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, that's chapter 2, verse 14. And I have the New King James translation. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Brother Skip.
Say good morning. Truly God has once again blessed us to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's just good to see you here. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. Just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Once again, Heavenly Father, we just again thank you for this day and thank you for your many blessings that you've stored upon us. Thank you for this time that you've given us to assemble ourselves together to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that again we just focus upon your word and the things that it has to say to us and the situations that we find ourselves in. At the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you experience or have problems? And if you don't have any problems, this lesson won't mean anything to you. But the fact of the matter is that we all have problems. In Job 14, in verse number 1, Job said, a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble, full of problems. Yes, we have physical problems. We have mental problems. We have emotional problems. We have sickness. We have disease. We have debt. We have disappointment. We have loss of loved ones. We have job situations. We have problems. But Paul said in our text this morning, he says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, but now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. In other words, for every problem, there is a solution. And so the real question is, what about the in between? What about the journey? How do we go from the problem to the solution? Because if we look at this today, we're going to find that there are some reasons, or either combinations of more than one, for all the problems that we face today. One of the problems that we face is because of the world in which we live in. Because just living in the environment of this world can cause problems. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, in this world ye shall have tribulation. So understand that if you are having problems this morning, it may not be because of personal sin. It may not be because of Satan. It may not be because of God. It may just be because we live in a world of problems. But then we see a second thing is because of the choice we make. You see, a lot of our problems are not caused by Satan, are not caused by some hostile coworker, but a lot of our problems are self-inflicted problems. In other words, we bring on problems ourselves. It's not because of our spouse, it's not because of the devil, and if you tell me that the devil pushed you into doing something, I want to know why you were so close to him to allow him to push you. And so it's not because of God. Instead of saying thy will be done, we say my will be done. And then there are problems. And I'm here to tell you that you can't choose to smoke all your life and not expect problems. You can't choose to do wrong and expect no problems. You can't choose to sin and expect everything will be lovely, because there is a thing that's called reaping and sowing. There in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. And so some of the problems in life that we face is a direct result of the choice that we make. And then because, number three, because of the enemy we face. Now this does have to do with Satan, because Satan is our enemy. But the Bible says in Job chapter 2 and verse number 7, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore soul boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. In Luke chapter 13 and verse number 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. And so then we see, not only because of the enemy we face, but because of the people we know. And so other people could be your problem. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord rewarded him according to his works. See, there are people who genuinely, for whatever reason, do the best they can to make your life miserable. People, but not only that, is people we choose to hang around with. They are not trying to get to heaven, and they don't want to see you get to heaven. They don't have your best interest. They are miserable, and they want you to be miserable. They are negative, and they want you to be negative. And the best thing to do is don't hang around those type of people. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 says it all. He said, enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. And so not only that, it's because of the progress we make. How many of you know that if you're trying to get off drugs, there are problems before there is progress? When you got new levels, you got new devils. Am I right? Anytime you try to make progress, there's always resistance. That's why in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21, Paul said, when I'm trying to do good, evil is always present. And this is why some people never get to the solution. Because when you have problems, sometimes it's more comfortable to stay in the problem than getting the solution. But then finally, it's because of the God that we serve. This is called persecution. For in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You see, there are times when God allows us to go through things to teach us a lesson, to prepare us for ministry, to prove his power, to keep us humble, to test our character. In Psalm 119 and verse number 67, the psalmist said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." In verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." In verse 75, "I know, O Lord, thy judgment aright, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." In other words, like a loving parent, God sometimes disciplines us for reasons. And so these are reasons that we've just talked about for all of life's problems. But then if you're trying to go from the problem to the solution, then I'm going to give you three things this morning, and this lesson is yours. Number one, first of all, you got to acknowledge there is a problem. You got to acknowledge there is a problem. Now, this is the very first step to take to get from the problem to the solution. Now, that sounds very simple, but let me tell you, though it's surprising that how many people have problems in their life that they don't want to admit it. They'll live in denial. They'll ignore it. They don't know that they have it, and they don't want to wear it and try to overcome it, because it takes something to overcome problems. You got to acknowledge that, hey, I got a problem, and I need a solution to the problem. And so the first step from going to the problem to the solution is that you acknowledge there is a problem. Number two, you have to assess the reason. When you have problems, find out why there is a problem. Now, is this an environmental issue? If it is the problem I'm going through some choice I made? Or is it just because the world in which I live in? Is it a choice issue? Well, is it thy will be done? Or is it my will be done? Is it a satanic issue? Can I discern if this is a devil's attack? Because not everything is a devil attack. We blame the devil a lot of things for our own doing, for our own mistakes. And so we need to discern from that. Is this a progress issue? Am I suffering right now because I'm going to a new level, because I want to have a better life for Jesus? Is this a person issue? Is there somebody who's on my trail who is causing me grief? Is this person persecuting me because of my faith, or have I chosen the wrong friends? Is this a God issue? Is God trying to teach me a lesson? Is he trying to strengthen my character? Is he trying to prepare me for ministry? Is he there to try to keep me humble? Is he there to prove his power? So the first thing you do is admit or acknowledge there is a problem. And then secondly, you assess the problem. But then thirdly, you accept the solution. Accept the solution, because for every problem, I said, there is a solution. If it's an environment issue, then we need to trust God to help us through the environment. That's why, again, in John 16:33, ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. God says, because I have overcome the world. If it's a choice issue, then we need to change our choices. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, but for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We need to use some wisdom. In Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But with all thy getting, get an understanding. If it's a satanic issue, then we need to do spiritual warfare. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, he said we need to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If it's a people issue, then we need to show kindness to our enemies and wisdom in selecting our friends. And Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. If it's a progress issue, then we need to keep on keeping on. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14. Look into Jesus. Press toward the mark. And if it's a God issue, then we need to trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I'm here to tell you, because wherever God has a purpose, or whenever God has a purpose and allows us to be tried, it's always for our good and for his glory. And I want you to know that as you go from the problem to the solution, there's something that you got to understand this morning. And that is, everybody has problems. Let me say that again, because some people think that elder folk have problems. I don't. Everybody has problems. But listen to this. Even though everybody has problems, not everybody has a God that can use all of these problems and turn them around for our good. The world has the same problems that we have, but only God, for his children, will turn those problems around for a blessing, for our good, and for his glory. And I say to you that God can use accidents. God can use mistakes. God can use wrong choices. God can use Satan's scheme. God can use difficult people and turn it all around for our good and for our glory. And that's why we ought to praise him. That's why we ought to thank him. That's why we ought to serve him. Because all the time, God is good. And God is good all of the time. And I want to say to you, this last point is that when you are in the valley, don't say, I'm in the valley. Say, I'm on my way to my next mountain. Somebody might miss that. When you are in the valley, don't say, I'm in the valley. You say, I'm on my way to the next mountain. What am I saying? You got to learn how to speak life in your dead situations. You got to learn how to trust in Almighty God. You got to learn how to lean on God, because it's only God that's going to help you get through your problems, going to help you get through your trials, going to help you get through your sicknesses, going to help you get through whatever you're going through. God can help you get through, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. If you're not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to know your solution is in Jesus Christ. God has a plan that all of us are going to have to follow if we're going to be saved. You've heard a portion of God's word. You got to believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Then you got to be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Go down in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But then, as you live in this world, don't think just because you become a Christian that your problems are all over. But let me tell you, your problem is still going to be there. But you got somebody now that can help you. Help you through whatever you're going through. You live faithful unto death, and then one day you can go on home and live with him forever and ever. If you're here this morning, maybe you've been going through some problem. Maybe you've been trying to handle a problem on your own. No, turn it over. Turn it over to somebody who specializes in fixing your problems. Turn it over to God. And when you turn it over to God, God can give you a peace that'll pass all understanding. If you're here subject to the invitation, come right now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Won't you come?
There's a fountain reaches for you and me that has been so made to its spring. There's a fountain of love from the
bow with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us together to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance is able to take something from the sermon and use it in their daily lives to make them better, stronger servants unto you. At this time, we also ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling and bring them back at our next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.